during his ascent to Calvary, Jesus is not only physically bludgeoned and bloodied and battered along the way, the Savior of the world is also scorned, is also ridiculed and mocked for being king. Being king. And he's mocked by four different types of people. First, he's mocked by Pilate, the supposed ruler of Israel anyway. Right? Because remember that Pilate is the one responsible for putting that inscription over his head. Right? This is the king of the Jews. He did not put that there to be nice to Jesus. Then he's mocked by the crowd who says he saved others. Why not let him save himself? He was mocked also by the soldiers who offered him sour wine and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And then finally the big one, right? One of the criminals who hang there with him said this, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us with you. Save us too. Save us from the cross," he said. And it's the "and us" part that really strikes our hearts and rings down to us through the ages. Because the book of Revelation says that Jesus, the Lord Almighty, says this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come. I am the Almighty." But then in the gospel, what do we see? We see Jesus Christ standing before the scorn and the derision of men, seemingly helpless. And we see what we think are two different descriptions of the exact same God. First, as Christ the King, and then secondly, the man who died on the cross. And we want to ask Jesus, "If you're all of these things, Lord, right? If you are the King of the Jews, certainly you should be able to save yourself from the cross, right? Certainly you should be able to do that. You should be able not only to save yourself, but save us as well." Without all of the humility, without the death, without the scorn and the derision and the shame. Because which one of us sitting here right now has not asked that exact same question? "Jesus, if you're the King of the universe, why did you allow yourself to be nailed to the cross? And if you love us, if you truly love us, why did you allow us to do the same thing? Why did you say to us that you too must bear your cross and follow after me? Why would you say that to us? Why isn't everything the way that I believe it should be? Certainly I know justice. Certainly I know what's right better than you do. Clear. Why didn't you save my friend who was 35 years old and died in his sleep one night with an aneurysm? Right? Why not him? We ask these questions. He has three children, or he did. And now his children and his wife awake to him dead. Lord, why didn't you save him? Why didn't you save him too?" Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why don't you take those crosses off of those people's backs? Off of our backs, off of my back. Today, my brethren, is Christ the King Sunday, and the last Sunday of the church year. Today is the day that we celebrate our God and our King as the creator of the galaxies, the head of the church, and the King of the universe. We must ask, when we make such a pronouncement as this, and we believe it as a confession, a tenet of the faith, what kind of king is this anyway? this, who does not use his dominion over everything to get those whom he loves off of their crosses too, to save us from such immense suffering that we see in this world, that we have endured in this world, and we do endure suffering in this life. Today we are at the very heart of the very mystery of God, because we are at the very heart of the mystery of love. And we do not understand love well. I'm sorry, we just don't. Not one of us here understands love well. Right? We think that it's just, what? Love is just the warm fuzzies, right? All of the feels that we feel and make us feel nice and cozy. That is an entirely deficient understanding of love. If you base your understanding and your own love on the way that someone else makes you feel, guess what? You're a user, right? And that is not love. The Lord chose to experience firsthand pain, the place of greatest pain, the place he endured all of our woes, all of our suffering, all of our hurt, the place that we call the place of the skull, or Golgotha, or Calvary, depending on what language you use. In the holy cross of Jesus Christ, the King, we are met face to face with just how much God loves us. That's what we see in the Holy Cross, where he chose not to avoid the suffering of this world, but to endure it unto the end. Now you and I, needless to say, but I'll say it anyway, you and I are not God. Because what do we try to do? We try to avoid suffering at all costs in this life. Right? We just do. Right? We have religions devoted to it. When we get just a sliver, just a taste of suffering, and we feel it weighing us down, what is the first thing that we do? We complain. Right? We complain. At least I do anyway. Why me, God? Why me? Why do I have to endure all of this? Why do I have to suffer while my neighbor, who I know is a wicked man, prospers? Right? You know what's at the heart of that? At the heart of thinking that I deserve something other than what God has allowed me in this life, you know what that is? That's pride. It's my pride. You we've missed seeing that our God is the King who makes himself to be the suffering servant. He is the Lion who makes himself to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Because his nature, who he is, at the core of his being, is love. And the nature of love is not to avoid pain. It's just not. It's not to avoid the places of pain. When you love someone, you will endure anything for them. You will put yourself in harm's way for them. That's just the way love is. Love goes straight to pain and to the places of pain. Any parent who's ever held an injured child or a sick child knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right? You give up anything just to be with that child. You'd run Satan right over if he were standing in your way, wouldn't you? You would. Give anything just to be with him. And more than that, you know what you do? You would give your life to trade places with your sick child if you could. Why would you do that? Because you love him, right? You love your child. That's exactly what love does. Love seeks out those who are suffering. Why is it this way? What is it about love? About compassion that causes us to behave in such a way that we would never behave otherwise? Well, it's because love is much stronger and it is more courageous than the places of pain and the places of suffering. Love is stronger than fear. Love is stronger than pain. That's why. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the way that it is with God. It's at the very heart of who he is. To go, to be in the midst of, to be Emmanuel, in the midst of his people who are suffering on this earth. And even to trade places with them. We may not be afforded that as parents, as friends, but our God is. He does precisely that in the person of Jesus Christ. Because when he beheld the earth and saw all of the pain and the immensity of suffering that we had brought upon ourselves, he saw all the world sick on our deathbeds and dying, in dire need of a physician. Not only did he come to us, he came to us and he said, I will take their disease. I will take their flesh into myself. I will go through all of their sorrows with them. And in their darkest hour, I will walk beside of them, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Because I love them. Period. I love them. In fact, in the abyss, reaching up its cold hand to grab a hold of us, he stepped in between, in the breach, and he said, not them, take me instead. Let their ancient curse be upon me. Because this is what the true king does. The true king, instead of abiding heavenly throne, far distant from the people that he loves, our King comes to us. And he shows forth the height, the absolute height of his power, as he reigns as the Savior of the whole world from a different throne. Not a golden throne high and lofty, but a wooden cross raised up over a skull. Victorious over death and hell and Satan. The epitome of true kingship and true power is God himself hanging from that cross for us. Because true king gives up his life for his suffering. His suffering is our healing. It's the true power of this strange king. He has the power that every earthly conqueror has ever desired and envied, but has never had. The power to change the human heart, create faith, hope. It is the power to cast out consuming bitterness and wrath, which we need, and put what in its place? Love. Put love in its place. Put compassion, true love, self-sacrificing love in its place. You saved others. Let him save himself, they said. And he could have. Right? He could have. Jesus does not hang from that cross as a powerless victim. He doesn't hang from that cross as a victim of injustice. Jesus Christ is no martyr. He is Christ the King, the infinite Pentecostal. This world mocks their king. They offer him sour wine and a crown made of thorns for his sacred head. They did this to the one who causes the sun to rise and set, who keeps the universe from collapsing in on itself, and who holds existence in the palm of his hand. The true king, whose power is made perfect in what? In weakness. In weakness. In this life, my brothers and sisters, don't flee from suffering. Don't flee from suffering. I know I've encouraged many of you when I've been there with you and seen you suffering your own on your own. I've encouraged you to see your own suffering. Let that direct you to the suffering of Jesus Christ for your salvation. And I know that's hard to hear when you're suffering, right? But I'm not a fool. I've suffered greatly. I know what it's like to suffer, and I know that's hard to hear. But I do it nonetheless. When suffering comes, and it will, know that it's through weakness, that it's through long suffering, that God has chosen to bring salvation to you. Let your own crosses direct your hearts and your minds to the cross of the true King Jesus. And know not only that your God has gone before you in all of this, but know that he is right there with you. He's right there with you when you suffer. Because it's his desire to strip you of all of your defenses, to mortify you, to crucify you. Why? Because he loves you. To make you to be the other thief on the cross. The thief who knows his crime, who knows exactly what he deserves, but still cries out to the king who suffers beside him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And why would he want you, why would he want me to be in such a position as that penitent thief who hang there beside him? Why would he want that for us? So that every time that we lift up our eyes, we will see, we will know our God and our King who suffers there with us. The King of all creation, my brother, who will come with all power and all glory, is the crucified one who was nailed to his throne. He is the judge with all power, and he has bled for those whom he judges. The one who separates the sheep and the goats has died for both. And now the trumpet blast of the last day is the joyous sounding of the victory of the gospel of the King Jesus. Christ is the victorious. takes away his